You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Time now on RNIB Connect Radio to talk our beloved canine companions. Yes, it's Guide Dog Blogs, and it's a bit of a special episode today because recently RNIB Connect Radio has gained a new team member. Yes, it's Jason, the guide dog of the one and only Mr. Alan Russell. How are you, sir?
Not bad, Hewitt. Thank you very much for having me on the show. And it's Jason with a Y, no less. J-A-Y-S-O-N. He's no common dog. I'm not saying Jason's a common name, but he's just a little bit different.
I like a different spelling. Him and Caesar have this in common because Caesar's name is spelled C-E-S-A-R rather than kind of the usual way you're spelled Caesar, which is rather an interesting one, but it makes things different. The first thing I want to talk about is training, because, I mean, for you, you've had the training many times. For me, it was my first one when I had Caesar. So how did you find the training experience itself?
Jason is my fourth kind of full-term guide dog, if you like. And he's the first dog that I have trained, he's been trained anyway, using positive reinforcement training. So that's kind of new for me to get my head around, because generally, the dogs I've had before, you kind of know what to expect, you know what the commands are going to be, you know roughly the kind of things you're going to have to do, you know, working with a dog, especially in the early days. This time, though, it was a little bit different because they use positive reinforcement training. So it's all about making things interesting and fun and rewards for a lot of things as well. And initially, I was very skeptical. You know, there was lots of kind of Chinese whispers, if you like, about in order to say no to the dog when they do something. Well, you can in a way, but there are different ways of telling your dog not to do something and rewarding them even more when they do the correct thing. A lot of food orientated rewarding as well. So they have like a portion of their daily food allowance you carry around with you. And that was a concern for me as well, because if I'm out, you know, you've got to give a dog a treat in the early days anyway. You know, every curb you come to, or every lamp, every traffic crossing post, or every button that you get the dog to find, or things like that, doors to find, you've got to give them a little treat. And I kind of thought, well, you know, taking some of the walks I do can be really long, and I'm taking a lot of food out of his sort of breakfast, dinner. But you can sort of balance out a little bit, and, you know, rewarding doesn't happen all the time. You can ease that off as time goes on. So that was a new one for me. Some of the commands had changed as well, some different words to use when working the dog. I'd never had a dog that's been trained to find, they say, box. So if you're at the traffic lights, you know, with a button, as you say, they'll find a box, and off he goes and he gets it for you and finds it. And you can train them to do that with the likes of lift buttons as well. And Jason's been trained in a few places in Glasgow, kind of busy train stations, bus station, to find the customer service points. And you say, you know, find help, and he goes and finds them for you. And you can reinforce that in maybe shops with sort of customer information desks and things like that. So there's lots of kind of new stuff. It's still very new to me again. It's strange kind of putting your faith in a dog, you know, this four-legged dog. You're putting your safety, your faith, your life, and sometimes in its paws. And that's quite nervy. And I think I find that going through all that again, you know, it's like starting from scratch, it's always a real mental challenge. And I find it mentally tiring, the training, rather than physically tiring. You're concentrating so heavily and you're relying on the dog to get you around obstacles and keep you safe. At the same time, you know, you're giving the dog directions, you're kind of looking out for him as well. So mentally, it's kind of quite tiring, and, you know, I'm working as well at the same time. So it has been a bit of a challenge, I have to say, but he's doing really well. He's a really intelligent guy. He remembers routes very well. He thinks through problems quite a lot as well. He's got a great memory for things. A lot of independent thought from him. He's a bit of a boy racer. He likes to step out and move fast. So I tend to have to slow him down a lot in certain places with a lot of people, because he sees crowds as a bit of a challenge to weave through them. I don't know if he's, you know, trying to escape from the police, I'm not sure, but he likes to shift gears. But, you know, when the harness goes on, he is really focused. And when the harness comes off, he is a bonkers, you know, 2-and-a-bit-year-old lab retriever cross. He's lots of toys. He's like having a toddler in the house again and in the office. But he's a really friendly guy, very, very, very happy camper as well. And he is in the studio at the moment. He's kind of lying down. He does like his sleep as well. You know, for all that he's a really energetic dog, he loves a good sleep.
With Jason, you know, you said he's great problem solving, a great worker. Does he have any kind of unique characteristics that can be, you know, a little bit amusing or maybe just kind of unique to him?
At night, when we're sort of going, if you're going to bed at night and, you know, you're closing the doors downstairs and you go to put the alarm on, he goes to the stairs and sits with his bottom on the second from the bottom step. He's sitting like a little person. He does that every night until you put the alarm on, make sure the door's locked, then you go up the stairs and then he will follow you up the stairs. So he likes to have a little seat and watch you doing that. It's quite funny the way he sits. That's what he likes to play all the time, but he does like a good sleep, as I say. So I just, it blows my mind, you know, some of the stuff that we've done when we've been working with him. So there's a route I do from my home. I get a train into Glasgow Central Station, and you can go through barriers and downstairs to get to the lower level trains to come out here towards the radio station. Or you can go to, there's a lift area as well that you can use on the main concourse. And we did the walk off the train and down across the barriers and across a road and over to this lift, which isn't easy to find. We did the route, and then the next day we came in and he just did it off his own back, went straight to that lift, went up to the button. And that totally amazed me because we'd only done it once, but he anticipated that was the way I wanted to go. I mean, not necessarily the way you want to go all the time. So sometimes you'll say, no, we're not going there today. You know, going another way. But that really blew me away that he remembered how to find that lift, because it wasn't the easiest to get to. And you can tell when he's remembering routes, because he'll automatically try and take you a certain way. And there's a really challenging part near the train station here at the radio station. It's a very busy kind of square area. There's always lots happening. There's buskers, there's tables, there's chairs, there's people. And it's always a bit different the way to try and get to the entrance to the station. But he really tries to problem solve. Sometimes he gets a bit kind of, oh, hang on, I need a bit of help here. But a lot of the times he works it out, because it's not the same all the time. So I think it's more his problem solving kind of blows me away.
How's young Jason setting into radio life?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he comes charging in the morning, unlike me. He comes and he immediately runs in, goes up to Jane, who works with me on the Daily Connect show, and grabs his toys and wants to play. Then he has a drink. Then we play with his toys. And then because we're getting the show ready, he'll go for a lie down. And he'll come into the studio with us. So I'm not leaving him in the office at the moment. We're kind of building up to the point where he won't need to come into the studio. So he'll be in the office with the rest of the guys here at the radio station. But at the moment, he comes in and he kind of chills out in the studio. So far, he hasn't snored too loudly, which is a bonus. And he hasn't barked, because he does have a bit of a voice on him. Especially at home, if people are coming to the door or passing or whatever, or there's people in the other gardens and they're near him, he likes to let them know that he's there. But he's doing really well in the office. You know, he's settled in really well. He's settled into travelling. He's quite content. He likes to work. But he's also quite content to play and quite content to lie down. So, you know, as far as dogs go for the office, he's bang on.
And lastly, I mean, you know, this is your fourth guide dog. You've not had a guide dog for a little bit until Jason came along. How do you feel having a guide dog back again? Like, not only a great worker, but also a great companion too.
So I waited a year and a half, quickly retired a year and a half previously, and then I was matched with Jason and we started our training. So 18 months is a long time. You know, I like to be out and about. I like to go in places. And going back to a cane, you know, I hated it. Some people like the cane, you know, don't want a guide dog. They're happy with a cane. That's good. What I don't like about the cane is I'm slower at getting around. The cane finds obstacles rather than kind of guiding you around them. And yeah, I know you can get like the WeWalk Smart Cane and things like that. But for, you know, to me, as a guide dog owner, there's no point in getting something like that at the moment. The ordinary cane will do me as a stand-in if I need it. But I think it's being slow. It's not being able to find things. Like I can ask Jason to find the door, find steps, find left, find right, find the box, which you can't do it with a cane. You've got to just walk and try and find the thing yourself. And obviously Jason will anticipate problems ahead on the curb. You know, if the curb's blocked, he'll take me, if the pavement's blocked, he'll take me to the curb. You know, we'll do a little off curb to get round it. You know, with the cane, you're going to find that obstacle, hit it, hopefully not fall down or over something. And you've got to try and work out, right, how far have I got to go? Do I need to go this way or that way to get round it? So having the dog back is just amazing. It's just absolutely amazing to have the ability just to go out and go places, not worry about it's going to take me. You know, if I want to go to a train station, I'm going to leave, you know, 10 minutes earlier than I would normally leave because I've got a cane. It's going to take me even longer to get there. Now it's not a problem. Or if I'm meeting someone somewhere, that's fine. You know, if I've got to go off a bus early or a train early because of a problem, it's fine. Got the dog, you know, got the smartphone. So having him now, even though we're still not quite, 6 months to a year for that full bond, having him now is just, it's night and day to using a cane. And as I said, there are people who love the cane, would not have a dog. You know, horses for courses, if I can say that when we're talking about dogs. But yeah, it's amazing having him back.
Well, it is fantastic to hear, and I'm sure your partnership will go from strength to strength. Definitely sounds very good already, but like you said, there's time to bond with the dog, and it all takes time, but it's rewarding in the end. So thank you very much, Alan, and, well, Jason the guide dog, for joining us here on R&IB Connect Radio.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for R&IB Connect Radio.